Lord's Day that God, in his magnificent person, infinite, invisible, omnipotent God, all of creation is in the middle of God. And God was found sitting on a little donkey. God was found sitting on a little donkey. Now, in the light of that, where was he going? Well, from the foundation of the world, before anything ever started, God determined his wonderful blueprint, plan, design, to glorify himself. And before the foundation of the world, Christ died. Christ volunteered, God the Son, to die. God on a little donkey in Jerusalem. Now, having said that, Matthew chapter 16. And you will note, please, if I may go directly to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. The little word show, the little verb to show, means to point the finger. Actually, in languages, it is the word finger. The word finger. To show, to point the finger. Where are you going? Point the finger. To show, to teach, to explain. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, be killed and raised again. Now, having said that, and that was there, and they didn't understand that at all, but they were going to go with him, and he was going to educate them, to say the least. Now, and Peter, in the light of that, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, God, this is not going to be. This is a wrong way to handle this. This is not the solution. And you cannot be killed. You must not die any old way. You must not suffer and die. You must not do that. Now, that was Peter's wonderful concern and intent and love for our Lord. And he tried to do that from his own standpoint in a way that seemed compassionate and caring and loving. But our Lord Jesus Christ had to correct that, as you know, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense, a stumbling block unto me. In other words, you're in the way, Peter. Get out of the way. You're blocking the will of God. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And you're looking from a human standpoint to try to answer what I'm doing and where I'm going. I'm going to the cross, and you're trying to analyze the cross based on human rationale reasoning. Now, keeping that in the forefront, if you would. Over, if you would, please. And remember now, the Lord Jesus said, if I don't go to the cross, you have no satisfactory solution for those who are dead in trespasses and sin. You have no solution at all. Now, in order to put that together a little better, would you go over with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And you would recall in Ephesians. Now, we quoted it just to hit it in front of you here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, understanding is darkened. It's blinded. It's one thing to have a physical problem. It's another thing to have a personal problem inside. And when your mind and heart is darkened, that's bad news. When you get blind in your heart is blind. Not your eyeballs, but your heart. When your heart is blind, when you are mentally blind, when you refuse to receive the reality of your own person and of God, the reality. Now, when I say that, well, we all look at each other. Hold it now. Take another look. The average person walking the street in the world does not understand that they live in this body. They are a person inside here. They are a soul, and soul houses the spirit. Soul and spirit, they're a person. And we operate very sensually, very surface. And our gospel is hid, you know, 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that what? That don't believe. Blinded from what? The gospel. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean they don't think. They just can't see. They love darkness rather than light. And they can't see the reality of their own person and God. And I'll bet you, if I was a betting man, I bet you that very, very few people understand that they live inside the body and they operate like that. You don't use, your brain is but an instrument. Your brain, your heart pumps the blood, the muscle. You live inside and use your hands, and most people, I'll bet you, they don't have the foggiest notion about that. They never do that. They're all surface. So therefore, it is easy when our heart is for the devil to go and get us caught up in the system so that we're sensual, fleshly, earthly, and we cannot hit the realities if we leave the invisible, infinite God out of this room and we take him out. Now, try to figure that out. If we don't have God, why would you have an understanding of your person? So how easy it is to blind the mind of a human being so they cannot see the obvious. Totally blinded. And they operate and do. And they do it religiously, educate, all kinds of ways. Now, just having said that little bit, so we're very operating on our earthbound condition. And we are not aware, and you take, if you took the time, well, I don't want to take time, but do it anyway, over to 2 Thessalonians. You know it, I'm just trying to drive home the point, if I may. Why is the devil so successful? Because we have, he that cometh to God must believe. Without faith, say it another way. He that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? So if I eliminate God, do you know how easy it is to get deceived, tricked? You could read the Bible for 5,000 years. Without God, tell me where that's going to go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know the wonderful truth. What good is that statement if there is no God? I shall not want in the light of a God. Well, but if I don't have one, really, practically, I don't have a sense of God. It can't go anywhere. No, no. The devil, over 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, going directly to verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing. Remember, God so loved the world that they would not perish but have everlasting life. In them that are perishing because, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. Why don't they receive the love of the truth? Because they what? They don't want to get saved. It doesn't mean they don't want to get educated. They don't want to get saved. The gospel is here. They don't want to know the good. They don't want it. They don't want to get saved. So don't say, well, they aren't happy. They are happy. Happy in all kinds of ways. You don't want to tell them they aren't happy. They're going to go to the happy hour and be happy. They don't have life. Now, verse 12. That they might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So they don't love the truth. They don't believe the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to get saved. Now hang on to that, if you would. Because our Lord Jesus is going to the cross. And remember in Matthew 16, he said in the previous statement, don't tell anybody. You just said thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that's true. But don't tell anybody. Because you aren't ready to tell anybody. Because you're going to say it and do it in the wrong way. And that's all we need is a miscommunication about the person and grace and mercy of God. Miscommunicating all kinds of ways about a God that isn't true at all. And thus, if it isn't true, then the next... Anyway, now, skipping if I may, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. Going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, remember now, I must suffer many things. Peter said, you can't. That's not going to be. God said, I had better, or you're in trouble. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. So on the one hand, it's stupid. On the other hand, it's full of power. Over, if you would please, to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, chapter 2. So we've got foolishness. Christ is the power of God. The cross, the preaching of the cross is power. Power what? The power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, you know. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It's very foolish. What are you saying? Well, He died. What a stupid thing. He came in a donkey and he died. No, that's... What for? Why? Hang on to that. Now, with that in mind, and we read the understanding darkened in Ephesians 2 and 14. Now, without turning to Ephesians, what do you know in chapter 1, verse 18? What is the desire of God for the heart of a believer? That their eyes might be enlightened, that their understanding might have light. Light. Not in the darkness, loving darkness, that your understanding might have light. And when you have light, you have sight. In the dark, you can't see, but light, you can. Now, so, would you allow me to go now in a great long thing, but we'll reduce it a little. There's so many wonderful things. I'm going to give you just a couple. Would you please note, in the light of that, would you consider then the angels, as we said Sunday, good and bad, before we were ever created, before there was ever a creation, there were angels. And that's what God is going to have to remedy, what they're out there in his creation, and they mar up, they ruin that. That has to be fixed, as we shared on Sunday. Now, in the light of angels, good and bad, and judgment, now I want you to ask yourself, in the light of the cross, I must go to Jerusalem. How, if you're an angel, how does God retain his holy person? How does God retain his holy person in judging the bad angels and sentencing them to the lake of fire or hell? How does God retain his holiness? Question. How can God be holy and judge those angels? Now, having said that, you know, without going into Genesis there, God created Adam and Eve, humans. They had the ability to choose. They were made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 2:17, they were to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They would die. They would die three deaths: spiritual death, physical death, and the second death. They would die three times. The sinner is going to die three times. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and if you went to Genesis, and in chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, and in Genesis chapter 6, remember, God saw the humanity, flesh, was evil continually. And in the, well, you might as well turn one place. Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And in the Genesis flood, God condemns all humanity except Noah and his sons who are trusting God. Now all the angels are looking. God, what do you do with Adam and Eve and a whole world that has grown up and they are disconnected from you? God judges them. God judges the angels. They want to know why they're judged. And God, here are the sinners in the days of Noah. God, what are you going to do with them? I'm going to bury them in the flood. And the word destroyed in chapter 7, along with verse chapter 6. Chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living creature that I have made, I will destroy or blot out, literally. I will blot them out. I will wipe them out. I will erase them. I will destroy them from off the face of the earth. So angels, if you're looking, does God judge? Yes. So you have to back off now. You can't get after God, because God does. God is the same, wonderfully the same in his righteous judgment. And thus, here is mankind being judged, totally being judged. They're going to be, the flood is going to what? Cover them. Whew. Over the mountains, every flood comes and buries them, blots out all of life, except for Noah and his ark, and etc. Now, having said that, to wipe them out, over to Romans chapter 8. And remember the poison of the serpent. The poison of the serpent has bitten humanity, and humanity is paying a price with the poison of unbelief. Romans chapter 8, remember now, the angels are looking. They want to get an answer. God's going to give them a very clear answer. The world doesn't understand why he went to the cross, but angels do. and we ought to. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in thought. In the light of that, God's judgment. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God judged sin. Where did he judge sin? In his Son. In his Son. Now, God, you did that. That's right. And verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. So now, having said that, where and how? Well, in his Son, all angels and all humans are to pay attention. God, humanity is guilty as charged. The wages of sin is death. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will all die. And in Adam's sin, we sin, all of us do. So in Adam's sin, here we are, and we're looking, and the angel's looking. Humanity is guilty. God already judged the Noah's flood. And God is going to go and make it very clearer. God is going to go and he's going to judge sin. Sin is condemned in the flesh of his Son. All human fallen humanity, all humanity is judged. No exceptions. All humanity is judged. All humanity is guilty and beyond repair. It is unfixable. How do you know? Christ was crucified. There was no way to fix it. There was no way to fix anything in God's creation apart from his Son. No way to fix it at all. And thus, God's righteous judgment in his Son. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, and what did God do now? Hang on to the angels. How did God demonstrate that? God sent his Son riding on a little donkey, going into Jerusalem, and he put him up in a cross. And it will tell you, the whole world, Rome, Gentile, Jew, everyone, did you know who's up there? Do you understand? He's just a man. You have all kinds of statements. But there he is, very, very public, condemning the whole system, is guilty. And all the angels know it. Humans don't know it. Humans don't know that the reason we die in the cemeteries are full of people, of bodies. The reason we die is because of sin and death, disease, etc. And here we are. God, why? The only solution is the cross. Christ died. The only solution was the cross. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, you know, the second thing to keep in mind that he's going to show very, very publicly, the fall of man. There's no way for a human being to have any solution to anything in the light of tomorrow, in the light of eternity. They have no hope and they have no God and they have no life and they have nothing ahead. Just try to get your work, retire, and then die. So now, the second thing, if I could say quickly, in the light of sin, in the light of the penalty of sin is death, and the power, there's a wonderful power when you understand the cross. When you relate to the cross, there's a huge power. How so? Because we understand. We understand that, God, you took our whole bankrupt person from stem to stern, top to bottom. In every way, you took it to the cross. And in adding to that, what else? What else did you help us with? Well, remember in Genesis that the devil seduced the mind and heart of Adam and Eve. And the devil was cursed to be devoted to destruction. to abhor something, to detest something, to curse it, to curse it, to curse it. Now, over quickly, if you would, to get this. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I wish I had time to do this better, but it isn't going to be. Deuteronomy chapter 27. What do you know? Without taking time to give you all the background, but just get, what do you know about the law? The law was, Israel was to understand the law. And remember, on Mount Gerizim, on Mount Ebal, and they had the blessing and the cursing. And when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 27, in the list of all the curses, everything is cursed. Curse if you don't, anything you say wrong, do wrong, come out wrong, it's wrong, and you're going to pay a price. If we fail in one point, James, if we miss one point, we're what? You're guilty of all of it. You miss 1 foot of the mountain, the plane crashes. You miss 100 feet of the mountain, the plane crashes. What difference does it make? The plane crashed. Now, chapter 27, verse 26, the last statement here. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. And thus all of the law, all of the law. Not part of it, not part of page one, you don't like page two. No, all the law. All, you open the Bible and all of the law. All of the law, and cursed be the person that doesn't do it. Now, having said that, to be regarded, to be treated as vile, and the word is exceedingly vile, to curse, exceedingly, to curse, no hope at all, to detest, to abhor something. Now, in the light of that, over in chapter 21. So the law, if we put it all together, the law curses. You don't keep the law, you're cursed. Cursed. And what does that mean? Cursed. Chapter 21, verse 23. This body shall not, his body, this is someone that dies. I'll read verse 22 for a little better context. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, if you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. God curses the hanging. The man hanging is cursed. Hang on to that. God is made, man is made in the image and his likeness. And to go and treat man and hang him like that up there all night, that man is cursed of God if that's true. That's how they saw it. They understood that. That's what the law said. They're cursed. So now, to hang on a tree, you're going to be cursed. Now the Jew knew that. That's right. Over, if you would please, in your Bible. In the light of all of that, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. This may not come out, but I hope you get a little anyway. Chapter 27. Remember now, the Jew is very conscious that you don't hang anyone up in a tree overnight because they're cursed of God. That's a curse. Cursed is everyone that doesn't do all the law. Matthew chapter 27, going to verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say unto him, Now follow it, just let it sink in. What they did, and then we'll put it together. Let him be what? Crucified. That's what they said. Let him be crucified. Over, if you would, verse 23. And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas and unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They wanted crucifixion. Crucifixion. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. What did the Jew know? To hang in a tree is to be cursed. Did the Jews know that? They did. What are they doing with this one that came in on a donkey? They're going to curse him. How can he be the Messiah if we curse him and hang him on a tree? Jews, going to hang him on the tree. Wow. Crucify him now. Picking up and they'll say it again, you know, in John and that, John 19. And they'll say, Pilate will say, "What shall I do? Crucify him." And they repeat it. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Hang him on a tree. It's the most cursed of God, you put him on a tree. Now the Jews were doing, they didn't realize they were fulfilling the law without what they did. Why? Because the people of the world are cursed. Man, humanity is fallen. It has no life. It has nothing. Humanity is lifeless apart from God. It's cursed. The Jews are cursing the cure, our Lord Jesus Christ. They're cursing him, hanging him on a tree. They can't receive him. They just hung him up there as cursed of God. Not a blessed of God, cursed of God. Now, Acts chapter 2, picking up very, 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 very quickly. Chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Chapter 5, verse 30. Crucify, you're going to keep saying it. The message, what are the Jews going to keep hearing? That they went and crucified him. You want to understand the cross? You crucified him. You crucified him. You fulfilled your own state. You are cursed people. And the Savior, whoever's going to save you, has to pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. Cursed, a man has to be cursed of God to save you. Now, chapter 5, verse 30. And God, and the God of our fathers, 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, and you hanged him on a tree. And you can keep reading it and reading it and reading it. You took and hanged him on a tree. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 39. We are witnesses. What was the message the Jews kept hearing? You crucified him. What is our message? 1 Corinthians 2:2. We preach. We determine to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. What is the message of the Lord's table? Preaching the Lord's what? Death until he comes. That's what needs to be understood. Wow. Now watch. Chapter 10. Again in verse 39. We are witness of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, so that everyone, angels, good and bad, everyone understands what they have done. They have crucified the Lord God Almighty. Now, over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, picking it up please, in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed are they. They're all cursed. And you went and cursed. You cursed. You're the ones that you are cursed. And the one who's going to die for you, he's cursed. That's why he died. Now, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from us. That's you and me. Us from the, what? Curse of the law. The righteous demands of God that he requires holiness, life, and we don't have it. We're dead, trespasses, and sin. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is every one that, what? Hangeth on a tree. You understand? The Jews fulfilled the law. They never realized what they were doing. The law demanded the cursed one to be hung on a tree very publicly. So angels, good and bad, and everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know that he died. Why did he die? Because he's a nice guy? No, he's a great God. And I can go on and on with all these lovely little truths that help you understand why he died. Now, putting it together in a second. Over if you would, please, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now you know the Lord Jesus Christ took you and I who were cursed, and he became, Galatians 3, he became a curse for us. So when God saw him, the curse, the penalty of the curse was answered, because he is condemned. All sin is condemned in him. Now, therefore, when Christ died, you died. All human beings died. Now, whether they want to take advantage of it and believe, that's up to them. But God offers the gospel to whosoever. Because he died. He's the cursed. And all the angels know, etc., etc. Now, Chapter 2 and verse 2, you know. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Now, that's a believer. A believer understands that. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm cursed. I'm a fallen member of humanity. And Christ has resolved that the terrible consequences of sin for me, because he took them to the cross. I went there. I'm there. Now, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And you'll notice, please, Galatians 6, may I go directly to verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, said Paul, save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the little word by, B-Y, little preposition, through the agency of whom Christ, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And to say it a little better, easier maybe, the world looks and sees you on the cross in Christ. And the world counts you as a carcass. And the world has no value for you. You're out of step with the world. You aren't in tune with the world. The world hates you. You're in it, but not of it. And the world hates you. It counts you as dead, and it will persecute you and give you all kinds of allurements to trap you, to trick you, and to put all kinds of pressure, pleasures, and persecution. Because the world doesn't see you as fitting in to the world system. And on the other hand, the end of verse 14, the world is crucified unto me. The world is crucified unto me. And I see the world. The world sees me as dead. And I see the world as dead. The world is condemned. God judged it. The curse is on the world. So, God, I'm able to come with a little half a glimpse, a little better, when I take of the Lord's table. God, he died, etc. He hung on the cross, and you have all those wonderful things. But all there's so much more to give you some meat, some food, something of understanding of what on earth took place there that Peter said no. And God said yes. And when you get saved, you say yes to what God did. You say yes to him. Yes, God, I agree with you. I agree. And as far as the world can see me as a dead man. And I see the world as dead. The world's condemned. I'm not interested in trying to go with the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not going with it. No. No way. No way. Boy. Anyway, we'll have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness and patience. And thank you, God, help us in all of this. And we'll thank you very, very much in Christ's name. Amen. Could we stand and sing a stanza, please, of 185 as the men come.